So now we'll go to verse number 5, which is even a little more confusing. So we'll go to verse number 5. Nacha matsthani bhutani.
Nacha matsthani bhutani.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Bhuta brinnacha bhutasthaha.
Bhuta brinnacha bhutastho.
Mamatma bhuta bhavanaha.
Mamatma bhuta bhavana.
You can mute please, Girija. We'll all chant together. Nacha matsthani bhutani. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Bhuta brinnacha bhutasthaha. Mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. So now in the fourth verse, he had said, all beings are in me, but I am not in the world, right? The world is in me, I am not in the world. He said, okay, that we understood. Then now Bhagavan says, nacha matsthani bhutani, even the beings are not in me. He said, first you said all beings are in you and you are not. With great difficulty we understood. First you said all beings are in you. Now you are saying not even the beings, they are not in you either. Please make up your mind. Are you in them or are you not? Are we in you or are we not? Bhagavan says, no, you are not in me either. That is very confusing, but we'll try to understand. Nacha matsthani bhutani. So he says, all these bhutas are not sthani. They are not in me. Why? He says, pashya, see what? Me yogam aishwaram. See my yoga. Yoga means the maya power and aishwaram means the glory. So Bhagavan says, see my maya power and see my glory, that even though these beings appear to be in me, they are not in me. But again, he said, you said that all beings are created by you. Yes, 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 yes. Bhuta Brit. He says, all the beings are in me. Bhutastaha. All the beings are in me, but I am not in them. Actually, they are not in me either. Even though the beings are created by me. Mamatma bhuta bhavana. Even though I created the world, I am not in the world and world is not in me. So, he said, this, you know, is too much, Bhagavan. You have to make up your mind. First you said, world is in you and you are not in the world. Okay, we had a hard time understanding. Now you are saying, world is not even in you. You said first world is in you. Now you are saying world is not in you. Bhagavan Sri Krishna's life was full of paradox. His life was like that. It never was very easy. Like he had butter on his face and he tells Mother Yashoda, na main makhan khayo. I haven't eaten any butter. So what he... That's why his name was Achyuta. Achyuta is one of Bhagavan Sri Krishna's name, means that which is never fallen. Even though in the world he was functioning and doing everything, he all the time knew that I am beyond all this. I am the Supreme Brahman. I am the consciousness who at this moment has been given a role as Devaki and Vasudev's son, Krishna. I am Arjuna's driver. So whatever role he was given, he performed to the best of his ability, but all the time knew that I am that, not this. Just as an actor, you know, is performing a role in a movie, and one movie he's a villain, another movie he's a saint, and a third movie he's an alcoholic. But the individual is the same, but whatever role he is given, he performs so well that he gets an Oscar or gets a Filmfare Award. So similarly, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is playing this role where he's driving Arjuna's chariot and teaching him, but he knows that I am that Supreme Consciousness. So that's why these teachings come in different language, a language that is very symbolic. So how do we say that world is not in God? First we said world is in God, now he's saying world is not in me. We have heard about waves and rope and waves and water. We have heard about pot and clay. Okay, now Bhagavan is giving us a different example which Shankaracharya ji popularized, called rope and snake. Now rope and snake, see, no Vedanta lecture can be complete without at least once mentioning rope and snake, right? Every lecture, anybody has spoken, they always say. So for those who are new, just very briefly, what is rope and snake example is that there is a rope on the ground and you are walking through the forest and there is a rope lying there. And it is dark but the sun has just set. So there is a very little bit of light. And so along the path you are walking and you see this rope. And since it is the forest, you think it is a snake and you accidentally step on it and then you get scared that the snake bit me. So you mistake the rope to be a snake. Another person coming after you thinks it is a crack in the earth. A third person coming thinks it is a little stream of water. Fourth person thinks it's a fallen branch. Now, the rope is the same, but each person misunderstands the rope to be something else. If it was pitch dark where you wouldn't see the rope, you would just walk by and not even get scared. Or if it is bright light, then you see the rope. I say, oh, it's a rope, it's not a snake. But when it is partially light and partially dark, you don't see the rope as a rope and you project a snake upon it and then you get scared. Oh, I am so scared of the snake. The snake will bite me. The snake is poisonous. Or if you accidentally touch the rope, you think, oh, I was bitten by the snake. Take me to the hospital. So all those thoughts come. But the rope says, I am innocent. I didn't do anything. I did not try to scare you. I am neither a snake, nor am I a branch of a tree, nor I am a crack in the earth, nor am I the water. I am an innocent rope. I have been sitting here quietly. It is your fault that you projected snake upon me. So I had no intention of scaring any traveler. It is the traveler's fault. So similarly, Bhagwan says, and then also the rope will say, that the snake is in me, but I am not in the snake. What does it mean? That if the rope was not there, then would you see a snake? No, you would not see a snake. You would just walk by. So because the rope is there, you projected a snake upon it. But is the rope in the snake? No. The rope says the snake is an appearance upon me. But whether the snake is there, or suppose a wise man comes and shines a flashlight and he shows you, he says, there's no snake, it's a rope. Does the rope change at all? No, the rope remains the rope. It is our ignorance that we project a snake upon a rope. So similarly, Bhagwan says that in this world, it is me and me alone. Now we are convinced, right, that everything is God, just as every part of the pot is mud, and when we are touching the pot, we are touching mud. So that's why every part of this world is God. Whether I'm touching this laptop, it is God. This table, this chair, this body, this wall, everything is that God. But why don't I see God everywhere? Why am I not able to see God everywhere? Just as I'm not able to see the rope because of the semi-darkness. So Bhagwan says there is this power called Maya, Mama Maya. He says it, in another place also, Devi Hesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durateya. My Maya is very difficult to cross. And here he calls it Yogam Aishwaram. See my vast expanse and see my yoga, my yoga Maya. So what happens is because of the power of Maya, Bhagwan, who is the substratum, gets veiled. Because to create this multiplicity, Bhagwan had to hide underneath. And so he hid underneath, created this world on top of it, which is a projection upon it. And all the names and forms are projection upon that consciousness. Just as all objects are projection upon that rope, whether it's a snake or whether it's a branch or whether it's a crack or whether it's a water. It is rope and rope alone projecting as all these names and forms, the variety of names and forms. So similarly, this whole universe is that consciousness with name and form. God alone is everywhere. That's why in the Rig Drishya Vivek, they say it is Asti Bhati Priyam Nama Rupa. It is existence, consciousness, bliss, which is God's nature, and Nama Rupa is the name and form. The reason we are repeating these examples, because again and again this knowledge has to become clear, and then alone freedom from sorrow will come. So this reminds me of a story. So this lady joined a gym, and she made friends with another beautiful young lady there, and they became best of friends. And so they would work out together and lift weights and attend all the classes. So this new lady who joined, after about 6 months, she got an invitation card from the lady, other one, and she said, you know, I'm getting married, so on so-and-so Sunday, so please attend my wedding. So she said, oh, I'm so happy you are getting married. It's so nice. Is it your first wedding? She says, no, it's my fourth wedding. So fourth wedding? What happened to the first three husbands? So she says, you know, it's so sad. The first husband, he ate poisonous mushrooms and he died. So she said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What happened to the second husband? Said the second husband, he ate poisonous mushrooms and he died. So she says, two, my God, it's so sad. What happened to the third husband? She said the third husband died of a broken neck. So she says, third husband died of a broken neck? How did that happen? She says, oh, he didn't like mushrooms. So she's going from one husband to another, hoping, looking for happiness, that some husband will make me happy. So similarly, persistence, we have to keep persisting in listening, listening, listening. Slowly, slowly, you will reach that fourth husband that will make you happy. Slowly, you will reach that state of happiness. So that is the idea of repeating this knowledge. You might say, you have already told us about rope and snake. You have already told us you are Brahman. You are not the body. We may have heard it, but do we experience the bliss of Brahman? Do we experience that ultimate joy, that ultimate peace, that ultimate happiness? So until you experience that joy, you have to keep listening again and again and again. So that's why persistence, till you finally reach that ultimate goal. That's why I told that story. So the point is that the snake has no reality. The snake is an appearance upon that rope. Other examples, I'll just keep giving examples after example, is like a dream and a waker. Now, when I am dreaming, is the dream there or not?
Yes.
Dream is there, right? When I'm dreaming, the dream looks very real. But when I wake up, what happened to the dream? The dream is gone. So the waker says, when he wakes up, he says, the dream was in me. I pervade the entire dream, but I am not in the dream. The dream is in me. That means the dream was in the waker. When I wake up, then the dream disappears and then nothing happens to the waker. In the dream, I may be in the forest and there is a tiger chasing me and I am climbing the tree. But when I wake up, I find I am sleeping comfortably in my bed in Bakersfield. So the waker says that the dream appeared in me. The dream was sustained by me. Where is the dream? In the waker. But the dream is not affected. I mean, the dream is there, but the waker is not affected by the dream. The dream, in the dream, I may have, you know, 1,000 gold coins, but when I wake up, I cannot bring them from the dream to the waking state. So the dream has no reality, is a temporary appearance. So similarly, this world has no reality. It is a temporary appearance upon that supreme reality. So just as the dream was in my mind, and so similarly, they say this world is a dream in the mind of God. So take it as that. And also, so then what happens is, then I don't take things in the world too seriously. Just as an actor in the play, if somebody, you know, calls him, you know, bad name or hits him or, you know, does all, he knows that it is a part of the play, you know, that he's supposed to play a part of a villain and I'm supposed to play the part of a good guy. So whatever happens, he plays his part. So similarly, in this world, when people we meet, some of them may be good, some of them may not be so good, but that is our understanding. But if I see that God is in everybody and everybody is God, and whoever is playing a role, they are playing a part according to their vasanas, according to their thoughts, according to their thinking, then we do not give too much importance to the world, and we do not give too much importance to situations, and we accept everything. Yes, body will get old, mind one day is happy, one day will be unhappy. Today I am stressed because of COVID, tomorrow COVID will be gone. You know, everything came and it goes, so this will also be gone. So situations will change, but I as the consciousness will always remain. So that is what this teaching is. Another example they give is the mirage. You know, you are going through the desert and you are very thirsty, and the sunlight is falling on the sand, and you see a water lake, you know, an oasis, and you say, oh, there's water, and you go closer and you find it was nothing, it was sand. So sand is the reality, the mirage is the appearance. So Brahman is the reality, this world is an appearance. I am also that Atman, that Brahman, and this body, mind and intellect that I am thinking is real is an appearance. So that is the clear understanding that one should get. Because in this world there are two things. Swami Bodhatmanandaji always says Atma and Anatma. Atma means this consciousness. Anatma means everything else that is not this consciousness. Yes. This body, mind, intellect, objects, emotions, thoughts, all these perceiver, feeler, thinker, whatever you are seeing is Anatma, is not that. So either you focus on Atma or you focus on Anatma. Most of us, we think the world is important, and we keep God on one side, somewhere in our one small room in our house, a prayer room. We keep a little picture and we say, okay, God, you stay here. I'll come every morning, 5 minutes. I'll do pranam, do aarti very quickly. I don't have much time, and then I'll be gone. But if we see God in everywhere, when we are going for a walk and you see the leaves, you see the plants, the trees, God is there. All day, these leaves are removing carbon dioxide and putting oxygen in the air. We should prostrate to every leaf, prostrate to every plant, because everywhere God is. So that understanding, when it comes, then and then alone, I have understood. So even I am that divinity, this body, mind and intellect is my car that I am. And I, as the car breaks, I go get it fixed. So similarly, when this body deteriorates, I go and get it repaired. I go to the hospital, I go to the doctor. But at the end, I know that no car can live forever, no body can live forever. So when the time comes, a person cheerfully is able to give up his body. So as I said, these ideas are complicated. They are not simple, and they need to be thought about. And it needs to become my own understanding. That's why they say Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. Shravana is listening. Manana is thinking about it. Okay, we just heard in the Gita. Now, how does this apply to me? And then abiding in that knowledge, that all the time I act as that. That's why when we are in the presence of these Mahatmas, you feel you are in the presence of God, because they are so close to the truth. So you and I have to bring that divinity within us, so that at all moments I never forget. Just as if I ask you, are you a man or a woman? You don't say, I need to look in a mirror to see whether I'm a man or a woman. I know that. So similarly, when somebody asks who you are, the idea should come, yes, my name is Anil, I'm a man, but actually I am Atman, I am that consciousness playing that role. That's what Guruji even said, you know, that when you're filling out a passport, date of birth, you don't say, I was never born, and their name, you say, I am nameless, are you male or female, I have beyond, no. You have to fill out your passport application. You say, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm date of birth, nationality, all that you have to fill out. But inside you know that I am that Supreme Consciousness. And these ideas will be repeated again and again. I remember a few years back when I had done these shlokas at the mission, and everybody was very serious, because it takes a while to understand. So just be patient. And next week, we will repeat the same idea with a different example. Bhagwan himself can see that. Look at our faces. Oh, ye samajh nahi aaya inko. You know, they haven't yet understood. So he will give more examples. And we will also continue this, and this will be repeated in the 9th chapter throughout. Different verses will repeat this idea in the 10th chapter and in 12th, 13th, everywhere. So just be patient and accept this as that it has been said by Bhagwan, it must be true. If he has said it, it must be true. You know, that at least, that much faith you have, that if it is in the Gita, if it has been said by the Lord Sri Krishna himself, and if so many great teachers have written commentaries on this chapter, then it must be true. So you start by accepting it, and then you think about it, and then you bring it into your life, where you say that, yes, no doubt I am getting old, no doubt my body is not like it was when I was 20, but the body is a car, it's meant to go. Today I am unhappy, yesterday I was happy. Happy and unhappy will happen, but they are not happening to me, they are happening to my mind. So my body is deteriorating, my mind is changing, but I am avyayam, I am immutable. That's what constantly, and that's what Bhagwan reminds Arjuna. Because Arjuna also in the second chapter, when he tells him, you are never born, never die, Arjuna doesn't understand that. And so then Bhagwan in the second chapter has to explain to him, okay, you say you don't get that, that you are eternal. Okay, then I'm telling you, whatever is born is meant to die, and you have to do your duties. And then he teaches him karma yoga and all. So depending on our level, we can take this knowledge, but then slowly, slowly, by repeated listening, this will become clearer, and it will become more understandable. And by repeated listening, a lot of, and each time, at least I find, each time I listen to the Bhagavad Gita or I read it, I get more and more out of it. So every time we meet and discuss, hopefully we will get more out of this shloka. So basically in the two shlokas today, he says, by me this whole world is pervaded, maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. I am the unmanifest, who is, that's why even in Lalita Sahasranama it says, vyakta vyakta swarupini, that Lalita, the goddess, is not only the visible form of Lalita or visible form of Mother Durga, or but she's Kali, but she's also the unmanifest form of the whole universe. So that is what this knowledge is, that God is not only manifest, also unmanifest. So whatever I'm seeing is God, whatever I'm touching is God, whatever I'm dealing with God, but at the same time, God, the consciousness, is not affected. Matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu vasthitah. I am not in them. In fact, he says, the world is not in me. This is my maya, my yoga maheshwaram. So see my supreme maya that is playing everywhere, where even though I have created these whole beings, bhuta brinna cha bhutastha mamatma bhuta bhavanaha, even though I have created this whole universe, but I am not involved in the activities of the universe. I just support it. I am the witness, which in Drig Drishya Vivek it says, I am the knower, I am the witness, I support this, but I am not involved in it. So that is the essence of today's verse. I know it's a little heavy. We'll try to continue. Next week is the same idea. Bhagwan will give us one more example and we will continue that. So I hope there are some questions or comments. If anything is not clear, please feel free to ask. You can unmute yourself. And any questions, comments, anything you don't agree with, please. I know those of you who have been listening to it, we have covered this in before in the Bhagavad Gita talks, but some of you are new, so it might take a little while to get this idea, you know, to understand. I remember hearing this in the early 90s, so it's been almost 30 years.
Also, I think that example of seed with the tree is
another. Right, right. The seed and the tree is the same thing. The seed is unmanifest, and in that unmanifest seed...
In the seed, the tree is unmanifest, and
right.
Manifest may be put.
True, yeah. So as Nehru says, the tree is unmanifest. In the seed is everything is there, the trunk, the leaves, the flowers, you know, the fruit, everything is there. But when the seed is put in the right conditions, then the whole tree manifests. So similarly, in Bhagavan, in God, this whole world is unmanifest, like the seed and the tree. And with the at the right time, creation happens. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
Why is Bhagavan saying Aishwaram?
Aishwaram means my glory. This whole world is my glory.
And relating that to Maya.
Okay, that's a good question. So Aishwaram means it is my glory. Now, when God is one to become many, he had to use Maya. Otherwise, everything is one. We are all one. So just as in a movie, you know, what is the Maya? It's the projection. The projection where the movie is shot and then it runs and it appears to be a movie, but actually it is nothing. It is just the film where the picture is projected upon it. So similarly, Maya is that projection power where Maya has two powers. One is called veiling and one is called projection. Veiling is tamas and projection is rajas, and sattva is knowledge. So veiling is that I don't see the rope as a rope. That is the veiling. And what is the projection? I project a snake upon it. So similarly, this whole world is Brahman, is God, but it is veiled by Maya. To create variety, there had to be this power called Maya, which is the creative power of the universe. The one God, for him to become many, had to be, this veiling power had to be created. So when I don't see the world as God, then I project the differences. This is my brother, this is my sister, I like this, I don't like this, this is my friend, this is my enemy. So all these things develop. So when I do not see the world as God, then I see the world as different. So similarly, when I, with the veiling power of tamas, when I don't see the what is the truth, then I project upon it. Just as when I don't see the rope as a rope, I can project a snake or I can project water or steak or whatever, depending on my previous understanding. So that is how the world is projected upon that one consciousness. That's why the example of the movie screen and the movie is very good, because the screen is the substratum on which the movie is playing. And if the movie is a lot of violence, there will be blood and shed, but the screen doesn't become red. If the movie has a lot of fire, the screen doesn't become black. If the movie has a lot of flooding, the screen doesn't become red or wet. So the screen is required for the movie to be projected upon it. So that is the power of Maya, by which this little thing of black tape, this film, the whole movie is shown on that. You know, all the villain and the hero and the heroine, and she was little and then she grew up and then she got old and she got married and then she had children. So all that is happening in the space of 3 hours. And by the end, you know, the villain is caught and put in the jail and hero, heroine get married and they live happily ever after. So all that happens in 3 hours, actually nothing happened, but it was just a Maya. So that is Maya. And it's the producer and director and the writer's mind in which that movie first appeared. The writer got this idea, okay, I will, you know, he writes the script, then he gives it to the director, to the producer, and they like the script, and then they go to the actor and actresses. Mm-hmm. So the movie starts as an idea in the writer's mind. So similarly, this whole world started as an idea in the mind of God. And then the whole world appeared. Of course, in God's case, he himself became this whole universe, because there was nothing else except him, and there is nothing else except him. And when we say God is everywhere, that means everything is God. He's all pervading. Is that answer the question?
श्री गुरु चरण सरोज रज निज मन मुकुर सुधारी वरनौ रघुवर विमल जशो जो दायक सहचारी बुद्धिहीन तन जानी के सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देहु मोहि अंजनी पुत्र पवन सुत नामो महावीर विक्रम बजरंगी सुमति निवार सुमति के संगी कंचन वरण विराज सुवेशा कानन कुंडल कुंचित केसा हाथ वज्र और ध्वजा विराज कांधे भुज जनेऊ साजे शंकर सुमन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगवंदन विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर राम काज करिबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनि गोप्यो रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सियउ दिखावा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावो दीव रूप धरि असुर संहारे रामचंद्र के काज समारे नाय सजीवन लखन जियाए श्री रघुवीर हर शिवर लाए रघुपति कीनी बहुत बड़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत सम माही सहस बदन तुम रोजस गावे अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगावे सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनि सब नारद शारद सहित परीसा जम कुबेर दिगपाल जाते कवि कोवित कर सके कहते तुम उपकार सुग्रीव कीना राम मिलाए राज मत दीना तुम रो मंत्र विभीषण वाना लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जाना युग सहस्र योजन हर भानु मधुर फल जान प्रभु पुत्र का मेले मुख मानी जल दिलांग अचरज नाही दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तुम्हें देते राम दुआरे तुम रखवारे होते न आज्ञा बिन पैसा दे सब सुख दे तुम्हारी सरना तुम रक्षक काहू को धरना आपन तेज समारो आपे तीनों लोक आंखते कापे भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नाशे रोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत वीरा संकट से हनुमान छुड़ावे मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जोलावे सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा इनके काज सकल तुम साजा और मनोरथ जो कोई लावे सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे चारों युग पर ताप तुम्हारा एक पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा साधु संत के तुम रखवारे असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नवनीन के दाता असवर दीन जान के माता राम रसायन तुमरे पासा सदा रहो रघुपति के दासा तुमरे भजन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुवर पुर जाई जहाँ जन्म हरि भक्त रहाई और देवता चित्त न धरिए अनुमत से ही सर्व सुख करिए संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बलवीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करो गुरुदेव की नाही जो शत बार पाठ कर कोई छूट ही बंदी महा सुख होई जो ये पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा ओ ऐसे दिशा की गोरीशा तुलसीदास असाधारि चेरा कीजे नाथ हृदय मांगे कीजे नाथ हृदय मैं देवा। పవనతన సంకటహరను మంగళమూరతి రామలఖన సీతా సహిత హృదయ బసౌ సుర శ్యామల రామచంద్ర కీ జయ ఉమాపతి మహాదేవ కీ జయ
థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. ఓం సర్వే భవంతు సుఖినః, సర్వే సంతు నిరామయాః, సర్వే భద్రాణి పశ్యంతు, మా కశ్చిద్ దుఃఖభాగ్ భవేత్. ఓం అసతో మా సద్గమయ, తమసో మా జ్యోతిర్గమయ, మృత్యోర్మా అమృతం గమయ. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. హరి ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. హరి ఓం.